Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who has instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us to be wise in what is right and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Saul felt the touch on his forehead. He could not see his face and did not hear the coming of the Christian now sitting next to him, but he could feel him, feel his soul. He felt something he had not felt in a very long time, deep within, the weight of the hand that was upon his head. There was no words for it, only the sense, a realization of an overwhelming presence inside that touch, as if the one beside him knew him somehow. And he did not want to move. Something in the weighty touch of that hand felt like a rich, healing balm spreading over his raw, chapped heart. The man said nothing to him, but a warmth spread through Saul from the hand he had placed on him, and with it, peace. Blind, hungry, and immobilized upon his bed in Damascus, Saul could feel the stranglehold of condemnation loosen from around his heart. He could sense a growing light somewhere beneath the horizon of his shame. "Brother Saul," the man said, "the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." The words crashed against the walls of his heart, like warriors storming the walls of some ancient city, pressing against the barriers, mounting and spilling over the limits of his denial. Love breathed fresh oxygen upon the ancient fire that had simmered in his soul, deep within his spirit. His heart quickened, his eyes opened, and he saw the light. "I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses." 2 Corinthians 12:9. He strides across the stage of history like a great lion of God, this Saint Paul. His achievements are incredible. Conversant in at least 3 languages, he used his approximately 40 years as a disciple of Christ to found over 20 Christian communities, traveling well over 10,000 miles by foot as he summited mountain passes, crossed deserts, slept on highways, and hiked along trails. Along the way, he wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, found himself at the starting point of at least 5 riots, spent over 5 years in prison, and lived often as a guest in the homes of the wealthy as he was left destitute to survive by the working of his own hands. His presence was considered so volatile to the status quo that at one point he was escorted by no fewer than 470 armed troops to protect him from the 40 assassins who lay in wait to kill him, under an oath made to God to neither eat nor drink until they did so. He was a single man, with no money to his name, but the power of his word gave him the reputation of a man who would turn the world upside down. His personality was as complex as his achievements were extensive. He was tender enough to convert a widow and her friends from Judaism to Christianity as they prayed by the side of a river, intelligent enough to present the case for the resurrection of Christ before the leading intellectuals of Athens, and determined enough to spend a day and a night floating in the sea during one of his many travels. St. Paul had the wit to preach Jesus Christ boldly before kings, the presence to confront the corruption of powerful business leaders, and the audacity to withstand mobs of people determined to kill him. Despite the thorn in his flesh that kept him constantly aware of his incapacity and inner weaknesses, he was a man uniquely called, uniquely gifted, and uniquely free. We find him on 30-day treks across the backcountry of modern-day Turkey and on boats sailing to places as far away as modern-day Spain. He led garrisons of soldiers, studied Judaism for years under the tutelage of one of the greatest living scholars of his day, and spent hours teaching simple people about God. He was humble enough to defer to the authority of the apostles of the church, but he had enough pluck to endure years of imprisonment just to somehow get the opportunity to stand before the emperor of the greatest empire on earth and tell him that he should worship Jesus Christ. The same Paul was deep enough to spend 3 years alone, praying in the deserts of Arabia, humble enough to receive support and encouragement from Aquila and Priscilla during desperate times, and earnest enough to forge authentic, loving friendships with the Christians of the church in Antioch. He was self-sufficient, and so was quite able to live by himself, but all the same seemed to find himself to be the heart and soul of the communities he founded wherever he went. He even made disciples of the soldiers who stood watch over him in Rome. He had the dedication to spend hours, days, and even whole nights instructing his converts in the faith, while remaining detached enough to say goodbye and leave them in the hands of others as he pressed on his journey to make other converts. He cast out demons in full public view, was bitten by a poisonous snake and survived, and once even brought a young man from death to life. Yet, for all of his worldly acclaim and notoriety, he knew how to keep his heart on fire for God. Having taken a vow of chastity, surrendering his body to God on the altar of his love for him, he fasted, prayed, and took oaths of dedication. Whether he was in the grace of mystical elations to the third heaven, in full labor of preaching, or enduring physical tortures at the hand of his oppressors, he lived for Jesus. And in the end, he died for Jesus, willingly surrendering his life to the executioner's sword. Along the thousands of miles that he traveled, he was scourged, beaten with rods, falsely accused, saw his friends dragged before court for his sake, was misunderstood by his fellow evangelizers, was abandoned by friends, and was even stoned once and left for dead on the desert floor. In the life of St. Paul, we see the power of a heart that is free. What was his secret? What made him tick? How did he do all that he did and say all that he said, given the life that he had to live? There are many places in Scripture where St. Paul opens his heart to us, but perhaps nowhere does he go as deeply into the secret of his inner freedom than what he reveals to us in 2 Corinthians 12. There, like a coach, he tells us what lies at the heart of his transformation and lays it out as a pathway for us, for our transformation as well. He teaches us here, in one condensed place, the secret we will explore throughout this book and allow to transform our lives, how to hold our heads high, and allow Christ's strength to carry us where our own wills never could. His words are simple and powerful. And to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." We all know the story of St. Paul's transformation on the outside. From a law student in Jerusalem, he rises in power to be the one at whose feet the elders laid their cloaks as they stoned St. Stephen to death. And then, brusquely, he unleashes a powerful persecution against the Church of God, arresting Christian men and women and imprisoning them, sometimes even voting in favor of their death. So great was his zeal against the Church that he arranged to even persecute followers of Christ in foreign territories, leading a group of soldiers to the distant city of Damascus in search of Christians to imprison. There it was that he met Jesus. In an encounter as impactful as the ground on which he fell, St. Paul heard the voice of Jesus revealing to him just how misguided he had been. He was persecuting the very God he thought he was serving. After 3 days, lying in bed with no eyesight, without food or water, God sent a man to offer him mercy. And in the course of a single day, St. Paul, the persecutor of God's church, was healed, baptized from his sins, and made a member of the church he tried to destroy. This day marked only the outside of the story of Paul's transformation. In fact, his real transformation, the transformation of his heart, took his whole life. Just as a fire kindles a wooden log first from the outside and progressively works its way within until the whole wooden log has become a glowing coal, so the life of Christ slowly and yet inexorably moved through St. Paul, kindling, burning, and transforming him into a true friend of the Lord. And that is where his life and ours meet. The same God who loved Paul from being a sinner into being a saint loves you and me. the same fire that progressively transformed Paul's youthful ambition and stubborn pride into a martyr's loving dedication, burns in the church's bosom in the form of her sacraments today. God not only wants to transform St. Paul, he wants to transform us as well. And the secret revealed in 2 Corinthians 12 is as real for us today as it was for St. Paul then. God wants to accomplish as much through our weaknesses and deficiencies as he does through our strengths and gifts. You see, for all his accomplishments, virtues, and courage, St. Paul's past stayed with him. It was a heavy burden to carry. He mentions his past sins openly in letters, a sign that he always remembers the guilt he committed. And he tells his conversion story publicly on at least 3 occasions. Who could have hurt as many people as he had hurt and not thought about them, their lives, the damage he had done? What about the children of the families whose parents he had imprisoned? What happened to them? What about the possessions of the simple people who had had their houses looted on account of their arrest? What about the number of people who turned their back on their faith in Jesus because of their fear of Paul? What about the setback his persecution had caused for the conversion of Jerusalem to Christianity? Hadn't the entire Christian community of Jerusalem been dispersed because of him? All of these questions could never be resolved, a heaping burden to be carried by one man with a past. And, if he let them, those questions could easily paralyze him in the passive stranglehold of fear for the rest of his life. And then there was the sheer weight of his personality. Like all of us, our strongest traits often are the flip side to our greatest weaknesses. Take traveling, for instance. Paul lists his constant travels as one of the sacrifices he made for Christ. As admirable as it may seem to be able to travel extensively, constantly adjusting to new places and circumstances, it also means that you are always tired and displaced without being able to take ownership of anything. Take furthermore his strength of mind and ability to speak so forcefully about the truth. Let's not forget that the same ability that equipped him to stand up to kings and rulers also enabled him to enter into a sharp contention with his own mentor, Barnabas, leading the two to part ways forever. That same strength also led him to publicly remonstrate and humiliate the first pope, St. Peter, and then to write about the incident in a letter. He admits that, in person, his was not an impressive presence, surprisingly, and on at least one account that we have, he puts his audience to sleep while preaching. Were there weaknesses in St. Paul? Yes, as there are in all of us. Let's remember that there is a difference between a person having a particular weakness and their choice to act on it. Weaknesses are the result of a fallen nature. Actions are the result of choice. And God makes us free to respond to our weaknesses with the courage that leads to holiness instead of the cowardice that leads to sin. You see, our sins are not instruments of God's grace, quite the contrary, but the human weaknesses, imperfections, and inner wounds that can point us to sin can also, if we are brave enough to be humble, point us to the Savior instead. Rather than letting the flaws in us induce us to sin out of fear, we can bravely face them instead and rely on the strength and grace of Jesus who comes to save us in our weakness. Today's reading comes from the Scepter Publishers title Coached by Paul the Apostle, Lessons in Leadership, available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook.